It's been wonderful for your friendship and your love, your prayers, your support and encouragement. Really exciting what God's doing over in South Harrow. And today, just want to really say you're very welcome, and we open our hearts to all that God has for us through you. Let's give him a warm round of welcome. Cliff, come on down.
Well, good morning. It's really good to be with you. And 14 years. We were singing One Thing Remains, Carroty Wood still remains. Fantastic. Well, this morning, my son John, who's 16, and my daughter Rachel, 18 now. John is 6'3", so I'm looking up to him. They can't be with us, they're busy with exams and stuff like that. But the message I want to bring to you this morning comes from a book of the Bible that's very dear to my heart. I remember reading through the book of Isaiah as a young Christian, and I was looking for a church. And there's a verse towards the end of Isaiah where it talks about being planted in good soil. And I phoned up somebody who was actually in a conference, who'd been to a conference in Portugal. They gave me the information. And one Sunday morning, I ended up here. And certainly, with several years in this family, it certainly was good soil for Beth and I and Rachel and John. So thank you to Jesus for all his love and care and concern that has come through many of you in this room for us as a family, and we're grateful to the grace of God over our lives. Well, let me just turn to this scripture. It's up there on the side there. It's Isaiah 40:27-31. And I just want to let this scripture, it's familiar to so many of us, but I felt to bring this morning, and the title of my message is An Invitation from Isaiah. So Father, we do want to thank you that we can come, we can worship you. We thank you for sending your son. Thank you for sending Jesus, that we could be saved, we could be forgiven, we could be cleansed. Thank you, Lord, that we can come into your presence. Because your son, Father, died on the cross, gave his life, shed his blood, that we could know you, be acceptable to you, be welcomed as sons and daughters in your house. And so, Lord, we ask this morning, would you come by your Holy Spirit? Would you come, Holy Spirit, and would you strengthen us? Would you speak to us? Would you lift us? Would you encourage us? Would you help us to see more of your goodness and your greatness? Lord, we thank you for the rich grace that is over each of our lives here, in Jesus' name. So Isaiah 40, verse 27, why do you complain, Jacob? Why do you say, Israel? My way is hidden from the Lord. My cause is disregarded by my God. Do you not know? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He will not grow tired or weary, and his understanding no one can fathom. He gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak. Even youths grow tired and weary, and young men stumble and fall. But those who wait for the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. Now, I grew up in London, but when I was 10 years old, I moved to a small, sleepy Suffolk village and spent most of my youth there. And the only time I would come to London, maybe 17, 18, 19, was maybe to go to a rock concert or maybe to a football match. And those events were few and far between. And I remember coming on the tube and looking, and people kind of, you'd look at the people on the tube and they'd be harassed and they'd be squashed in and they'd be kind of, it was dingy and dirty and there'd be kind of dark rings under their eyes, and you think, I just never can do this myself. And yet, when I was 23 years old, I came to London and have been here ever since. Now, London life, as we all know, is so hectic. It's so crowded. The shops are crowded. The tubes are crowded, aren't they? The roads are crowded. Everything is crowded. And we haven't even started to have the Olympics yet. But the thing is, the pace of life, as my dad used to say, he always said to me, come into the slow lane and come and live in Suffolk. But the pace of life is wonderful here. And being here right in central London, there is a rawness and there's a buzz and there's a wonderful life here that has, you know, God has placed you here for a purpose, a wonderful purpose to reach people. But I don't know about you, but I don't know if anyone here is a bit weary and worn out. And as I was praying about what to bring this morning, the message is called, as I've said, an invitation from Isaiah. And the invitation that I believe Isaiah gives us from this passage, I just want to put in three sections. I believe that there's an invitation from Isaiah this morning for us individually to rediscover God's greatness. Also to recognize our weakness. Now, for many of us, that doesn't need much recognition, certainly me. But I think that's an important element in this invitation that Isaiah offers. And finally, it is to renew our strength. There's that promise and that invitation. And so why don't we continue on? And the first part of this is to rediscover the greatness of God. Okay, and Isaiah is amazing because these people, I don't know if you ever feel like this, but they start with a complaint to God. And and the prophet says to them, look, you know, I've got some questions for you. And they're saying, my way is hidden from the Lord. My cause is disregarded from my God. The Message version says, why would you ever complain, O Jacob, or whine, Israel, saying, God has lost track of me. He doesn't care what happens to me. Maybe you have felt that recently. Maybe you've felt like giving up. Maybe you're just hanging on or clinging on. Maybe the pressures and stresses of life are getting to you. Maybe you're just in a period where of ill health or family problems, or you're struggling in your studies or financially. And you could say, well, God, have you lost track of me? Do you really know the details of my life? Well, the people of Israel were feeling this way. They'd been through a lot, and some of it was down really to their own doing. But when we feel this way, I think we need to be reminded again to turn our focus upward. And this is what Isaiah does. He gives them a little bit of a reminder. Do you not know, people of God, Israel, Jacob, don't you know your history? Have you not heard the Lord is the everlasting God? And so the first aspect in renewing our strength in God, I believe, is rediscovering the greatness of God. And the prophet comes and says, lift up your heads and remember and recall what God is, what he's done, what he's going to do. And I believe that by rediscovering the greatness, we're re-energized and we're reinvigorated. We're revived as we glimpse again the wonder of this great God, that of what he has done and what he will do for us. We all need our imagination stirred and refreshed and refueled. Ray Ortland says, you and I don't need a quick fix. What we need is a clearer vision of God and a greater passion for his glory. What we need is to find rest in his faithfulness and energy in his desirability. He's the one who is most desirable. Now, in this passage, we can see really that Isaiah identifies five things that we've got up there. And the first thing is that God is everlasting. He's eternal. He's the everlasting King. It says in Psalm 90, before the mountains were brought forth, or ever you'd formed the earth and the world, from everlasting to everlasting, you are God. God is equally present at all points in time. He's always ahead of us. How's your deadlines? God is always ahead. He's working out his purpose in his own way. Now, second, we're reminded that God is the creator of everything, all the way to the ends of the earth. There's not a single square inch of this planet that he doesn't own, that he doesn't know about, that he doesn't sustain. He's not some distant figure. He's the one who gives us breath. He sustains the heavens and he sustains our hearts. He sustains the grass and he sustains the galaxy. He is this wonderful one, and the earth belongs to him and is and will be filled with his glory. The next thing we see that God does not grow tired or weary. There's never a moment where he wakes up and feels, that was a hard week last week. We tire daily. We need nourishment and we rest. We need rest every day. We spend about a third of our lives asleep. If you're a teenager, that kind of goes up a bit longer. But we need to recoup our strength. And because we're frail and mortal, the sad news is that we pass away. God does not need restoration. He's eternally and inexhaustibly a fountain of exuberance and joy. There's a verse in the Bible which says, all my fountains, all my springs are in him, and he is overflowing. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit in delightful communion, full of life and energy, wisdom and joy. And so he never grows tired or weary. He's always fresh and alert. He's always on the ball. He is always able. And so, as we come down to the last thing, he says, his understanding no one can fathom. I don't know what you're thinking about right now. I don't know what you've been thinking about or what you will do this afternoon. But God knows. He knows the very thoughts that are coming to your mind. He knows the pains in your heart. He knows the things that you've had to walk through. He knows that what is ahead. He is the one also whose ways are higher than our ways. His thoughts are so much higher than ours, and we can't fathom him out. We could never reach out. Do you have questions about your life? Do you have questions about your family, your friends, about this nation, about this world? Well, God has the answers to those questions, but sometimes we don't get answers. But what God does do is, I believe, he gives us bright and beautiful and precious promises. He gives us himself as the answer. And he puts forth his glory and he says, look at me. Come to me, this dazzling, holy, bright, amazing God. The story of Isaiah when he was serving as a priest and the king that he was serving had died. He'd been leprous for many years. He had gone against God, and Isaiah, as he probably looked on that king as he took his last breath, went to serve in the temple. And as he's just going about his daily serving, he has a vision of this Holy One, high and lifted up. I don't know if you've ever been to, well, you've all been to many weddings. It's great to hear of the weddings now. But can you imagine if the bride comes into the church and everyone's gazing and looking upon her, and she's beautiful and she's radiant, and the train comes in, and the train comes in, and it fills up the whole wedding venue. Well, that's a kind of nothing like it at all, but as Isaiah, that'd be a shocker if it did, maybe on my gypsy weddings or whatever, I don't know. But the thing about it is that when Isaiah looked, he saw the king. He saw the Holy One. And in the book of Isaiah, more than any other book in the Old Testament, the word holy is used to mean other, different, so transformingly different, of another essence to us completely. God gave Isaiah a glimpse of his holiness, and he was changed. I remember a story about the 1966 World Cup, and Bobby Moore was the captain. They had the red shirts, and they'd won after extra time. Those were the days. And as he ascended the steps, he looked at the Queen, And he was interviewed several years later to say it must have been the best moment of your life, apart from the birth of your children, getting married. He said it was terrifying. I said, why was that, Bobby? He goes, well, I looked at her and she was beautiful and radiant and she had these wonderful white gloves. And I looked at my hands and they were muddy and soiled. And as you look at the video monitor, he's going up the steps. And he goes, I was terrified that I was going to soil her beautiful white gloves as I shook her hand and took the cup. So he wasn't thinking about the trophy. He wasn't thinking about the glory. He was thinking, I'm in the presence of royalty and I'm filthy and I'm unclean. And Isaiah, again, it's not comparable, is it? But Isaiah went and the glory of God helped him to see who he was. That he was a man who was unclean. His lips were unclean. And he lived amongst the people who were unclean. He was a priest. He probably felt, well, I'm okay. But he saw the king. And with that, God didn't leave him there, did he? He came and he sent that coal to cleanse his mouth. A picture of the sacrifice of Christ, the cleansing power of what Christ did, coming to cleanse his lips, and then he sent him. God doesn't leave us where we are, he comes to us. Now, that was a bit of an aside, so we better get back to the main point. But God is so wonderful, it says he gives strength to the weary. Who needs some strength? I need some strength. Recently, I've been kind of, we moved house from South Harrow to North Harrow. And over the last few weeks, I've kind of been hobbling around. I think the neighbours have been, who is this old man? And so you're aware, I've really needed strength, physical strength, just healing. And you call out to God, heal me, taking the painkillers, heal me. And I think that you carry on, don't you? And you keep worshipping, you keep drawing on his goodness. And it says he gives strength to the weary. And he increases the power of the weak. God is so generous and so good. Charles Spurgeon said, we must never tolerate an instant's unbelief as to the goodness of God. Whatever else may be questioned, that this is absolutely certain. Whatever season of life you're in, whatever circumstance you face, God is good. And so let's move on to this second part of recognizing our weakness. And in some ways we don't need to think about, you know, we know we're weak, we know that we're frail. Now these guys up on the wall here, any clues? It's Chris Hoy in the cycling, it's Rebecca Adlington in the swimming, and Jess Ennis doing everything, and Mo Farah, 10,000, 5,000 metres. These are guys, you girls and guys, who have been chosen. They've been selected out. These are the young men. These are the young women who have been selected because of their physical prowess, because of their skill, because of their ability. I'm sure they don't feel very weak. They will be going for it. It's interesting, there was a guy called Dean Macy. Anyone heard of Dean Macy? He was a decathlete. And he competed in Olympics and World Championships. He just seemed to be injured between the World Championships and the Olympics. He seemed to be injured during the World Championships and the Olympics and had to retire very sadly through injury. He was a fantastically exuberant guy. But he would have realized that, you know, even young men, even the chosen ones, the ones of prowess, the ones of ability, they do faint from exhaustion. They do stumble and they do fall. It says, even youths grow tired and weary. And those words refer really to that lack of ability, that lack of physical ability to keep going. And also the weariness is a sense that, gosh, life is hard and we need that extra from beyond us to get us through. It talks in Isaiah, all men are like grass. Do you feel like grass today? Well, it's a reference to our mortality. The grass withers and the flowers fall. because of the breath of the Lord comes. We are fragile, we're mortal, we're frail, we're feeble. And sometimes it's good to just realize that in a sobering way. And Isaiah gives that picture to give some perspective to these people. So the wonderful thing in this verse is the word stumble. Here we used to have some fantastic sports days, and I always remember coming last. You know, it was Gerard and all these guys. Anyway, when I went to our new church in Harrow, I think because I'd been honed in the furnace of the New Life Sports Day, the first time I went, I thought, I've got a chance. And so we went to the 100 metres. And so we lined up, and I looked along the row, and we were various ages, but the ages were, you know, there were, I mean, the guy with the crutch, I thought, I've got a chance against him. But and so we went, and I thought, here we go. We were all roughly the same age and ability. And as we were going, I thought, I'm 100 metres. I'm really slow at 100 metres. As I got towards the end, I was there. I was ready. I was ready to dip about 5 metres from the end. I stumbled. Now, I didn't fall over, but I stumbled, and then they just flooded past me. I think they were going to flood past me anyway. And I stumbled because it was just too much. But we all stumble, don't we? We all fall. We all make mistakes. But the thing about that stumbling is there is a stumbling that happened to all of us as Adam stumbled at the beginning of time. And he was the young man. He was the one who was set in Eden with that perfect relationship. He had the perfect wife, the wonderful presence of God. He had that fellowship. He knew no sin. And he was in a beautiful garden with rivers, with a wonderful job. Interesting, he got a job before he got a wife. And he just had a fantastic, wonderful opportunity. But like us all, he stumbled. And because of that stumble, sin came to mar and corrupt and to stain the whole of this earth. And so it was, in a way, when we talk about the strength of God, what is the most important strengthening we can have? It's that moment, the Isaiah moment, when we realize we're unclean, that we're people of unclean lips and hearts and minds and everything else because of Adam's stumble. And yet, God gives power to the weak, and the best gift of his strength was the strong one, the holy one, the pure one, his son coming to this earth. It says in Romans, for while we were weak, at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. At the right time, while we were weak. God shows his love for us while we were still sinners. Christ died for us. Have you stumbled? We've all stumbled. And we all need Jesus to come. We all need his strength, his saving power in our life. And so as we move on, this third invitation, this third part of the invitation from Isaiah is that we renew our strength. And so the most important strengthening, as I've said, is that moment when we recognize that we're in need of cleansing and healing. We're in need of God's strength coming on the inside of us, his forgiveness and cleansing. So Isaiah's final invitation is to renew our strength. Now, what does that renewing mean? It means putting on fresh strength. And when God gives, it's as if it's not. If I had £10 and I gave it to Paul, then he would have it and I wouldn't. Now, if I went to Tesco's or Waitrose or whatever you've got around here, then if I gave them my £10 and I got, you know, my fish pie or whatever, then there's an exchange. And this thing that Jesus did, that God did through his son, was this great exchange. And so God takes our weakness. He takes our unrighteousness. He takes that which we want to get rid of. And he gives us his strength, his righteousness. his covering, his Spirit, himself. And so the thing about this is, well, how do we wait on the Lord? How do we hope in the Lord? How do we trust in the Lord? I think one of the things, as I was reading about this, I just felt that God wanted just to underline this morning for each of us that we're renewed as we maintain our relationship with Jesus. It's very simple, and I think this is for me, that as we just keep in relationship with him, he talked to his disciples, he said, I haven't called you servants, but I've called you friends. And it's the friendship of Jesus that is exciting me as I continue to seek to follow God and to get to know him. And I want to rediscover the greatness of God. And that, in my personal times, I've been going again into this book of Isaiah so that I can understand. The book of Isaiah is like this great panorama of this vision that this prophet had, 66 chapters, which was focused on Judah. And out of this window of Judah would come someone so fantastic and wonderful, Jesus. And I think it's all about, how do we renew our strength? We begin a relationship and we maintain our relationship with Jesus. I'm sorry if that's not really what you came to hear this morning, but it's that maintenance, that coming, that trusting, that looking. So recently, when I hadn't been kind of healed, and I would pray for people to be healed when I wasn't healed, and sometimes they might be healed, Jesus would come. And the thing is, when we haven't got that kind of physical healing, one thing we do have is we have the presence of God. We have him, and he is more important because he comes close, doesn't he? And so, do you need to put on fresh strength this morning? The strength that he offers is a divine and supernatural strength. Now, a while ago, a guy came and did a sermon at our church in Harrow, and at one moment, he slid across the floor, nearly taking out the PA and things like that. And he's a lot older than me, but he did a demonstration of a point that he was doing. I would love to give the demonstration of this next point to soar on eagle. Can you imagine just to do that? But the point of it is, God gives us this supernatural divine strength that is his and not ours. It's beyond us. And when we become believers, it says in the Bible that our hearts are softened. We're declared righteous, but God comes on the inside of us. We're his temples. And so it gives us that soaring strength. And at times, I believe we do soar, where God comes in to heal and to guide and to speak. And at other times, we need strength to run, where we're going through a particularly difficult or exceptional time, and God will give us that strength to run. And at other times, we do just need the strength for the ordinary daily grind of life. Strength to walk and not be faint. There's a guy called John Ortberg. I'm sure many of you read his books, several books he's written. When you want to, I can't even remember the titles of several of them, but he was at Willow Creek Church. He told a story about himself. When he started out, he felt he had a call to be a preacher and a teacher. And from a young age, he was given opportunity. He felt God had put that on his heart. He had an excitement when he stepped out to do that. And he started to preach, and in one of his early opportunities, he had his message and he got going. Hope this doesn't happen today. But 10 minutes in, so we're past that now, he found that he felt dizzy, and he ended up fainting. He fainted in the pulpit. And so he thought, I don't know what it was. Was it something I ate? Was it, he was really, really nervous. And so, anyway, he went for some study leave for a year and was studying. He came back to the same church. And then there was another opportunity to preach. And unfortunately, 10 minutes in, bang, he hit the deck. Now, it was a Baptist church. He said it wasn't charismatic particularly. There wasn't any kind of, you know, it's like slain in the spirit. No, he was just down. And he said that while it was, well, there were some, you know, there were some pluses. People came to the church to kind of, you know, see if he would make it through. No, there was a sense of, you know, there's something going on here. We want to, they came really a bit like, you know, not wanting to see something, but maybe hoping. And so the poor guy, it was painful to him. And he basically had a chat with the pastor. The pastor said, I'm going on sabbatical and I need you to preach a lot. Do you want me to get lots of people in? And he said, no, I'm going to go for it. And he said, he went and he said, it wasn't a particularly good sermon, and a bit like this one really. And he got to the end of it and he said, I felt that was my time where God was strengthening me and just getting me through. And he said, I've been preaching for 16 years and sometimes I have that faint glimmer of what it was like to kind of wake up with everybody around me kind of saying, what's happened? And so he says, I've been waiting on the Lord for 16 years. And he was very successful, very anointed, very godly guy. And, you know, but each time there is a sense that he's depending on his strength. And so there's a wonderful quote here, which I just want to read out about waiting, because we could say so much. But Ray Ortland says, waiting means not only that I trust God to be true, but I admire him as stunning. And I think there's something about our Christian lives where we can be caught up with the beauty of God. That as we're caught up with his beauty, as we're caught up in gazing upon him, so that strength flows to us. But God, as we move towards our close now, is someone who is looking to strengthen us. If you're here today and you feel, gosh, I'm really at the end, it says, the eyes of the Lord range to and fro across the earth, looking to strengthen those whose hearts are fully committed to him. So you might disqualify, you might say, my heart isn't fully committed to you. But God, I believe, is looking to strengthen us in this way. Now, I've put that up because, has anyone seen The Avengers?
Twice.
Can I say, when I was really young, I used to kind of swap the comics in my London schoolyard, and we had, you know, Spider-Man, all this. And now they've got the technology to actually do it. It's great. It's well worth seeing. This is the best superhero film you'll ever see. A few kind of frowns. That might not be very high on the... But you've got Captain America there with his shield of faith, invincible. You've got Iron Man with the armor, and maybe not of the Lord. You've got Thor, who I particularly like, with his hammer, which is great. And no one can pick up his hammer apart from Thor, which is really good fun. I mean, I just love this stuff. There's the Black Widow, and she's got a little gun. Not much else. You've got Hawkeye, who's got his bow and arrow. And then you've got the Hulk. And the Hulk, there's a lovely actor, Mark Ruffalo, who plays this guy. He's such a gentle actor for this role. And the Hulk's main thing, as you know, is when he gets angry, he gets big. When he gets angry, he gets green. When he gets angry, he just runs amok. And so it was a little bit unbelievable that this area is just quiet and kind of down there. But the thing about him, he's just got one gift, strength. And the thing about these guys is they were needed in this film to save the planet. They were needed to come, and they were a ragtag team, weren't they? Gifts, different things. And for us, I think we're quite a ragtag team, aren't we? But God has called us to take out his message. And whether it is the hammer of the word of God, whether it is that shield of faith, whether it's the armor of righteousness, that covering that he gives us, whether it is this strength, the Hulk needs to get angry to get strong. And I think for us,
we just need to get quiet, to get strong. We need to look and lift our gaze on the greatness of God to get strong. And so God strengthens us. And I love this quote. We are all weak, but we don't have to be Superman. I would add, we don't have to be the Hulk. But God simply calls us to believe and set our hearts on things above. If we will, that longing for God is the channel which His power will lift us and renew us and cheer us. It's that longing for God that I believe is the channel for which His strength and His presence will come to us. And so God strengthens us. Well, He strengthens us wherever we go, because it says in Psalm 139 that wherever we go on this planet, His right hand is there to guide us and uphold us and hold us fast. But in the Alpha Talks, we often talk about God's coming upon us by His Spirit, with Belazel, with gifts of craftsmanship and wisdom and creativity. If you want that, I read a wonderful story about a guy who had a business developing bows. And God, as he prayed in tongues and as he sought the Lord, gave him designs and dreams about how to build these wonderful bows. God wants to bless us in the marketplace and with creativity. And so the Spirit coming upon. Samson wasn't a hulkish guy. He wasn't a big guy, I believe. But the Spirit would come and break off the bonds that was trapping him. Also Gideon, he was clothed with the Spirit, and all of a sudden he found courage to lead and step out and leave his background behind. And even David, it says that as he gathered with his brothers, the oil of God came to set him apart for service. It says the Spirit rushed upon him. And from that day forward, it was a new dimension of life that David had. And finally, God does empower us within by His Spirit. Paul said, I can do all things through Him who strengthens me. There's a sense that is empowers me within. Cope with difficult situations by drawing on that empowering. And finally, if I could leave you with this, God gives us His Word. If you could imagine a great big sword in front of this pulpit, God gives us His Word. And for each of us in this room, there is a sword of the Spirit that He wants us to take up. And as we dig and delve and look into this book of Isaiah or the other books of the Bible, I believe we pick up that sword and we do battle with the truth. And it's in knowing the truth that we can be set free. And so I'd encourage you today, it's the sword that the Spirit uses to bring freedom and strength to us. And finally, as we nearly get to the end, one of my favorite verses in the Bible is, it says, when David was in a rough time, where everybody had turned against him, where his wives and children had been kidnapped, his men were thinking of stoning him, he went off and he strengthened himself in the Lord. And there is a responsibility for each of us to be able to run to God and learn to strengthen ourselves in the Lord, retreating to Him as our refuge, reading devotionally. I read a very sad but a very wonderful testimony of a guy called Andrew Bonar, or Bonar. He was reading his daily devotional, and his wife had just given birth but was very, very ill. And he read in the book of Nahum that the Lord is good. He is a stronghold in times of trouble. He is a refuge for people who come to Him. Now, if you've read the book of Nahum, it's a short book. That is the best verse in it by far. But as he read that later on, that was just his daily devotional reading. And later his wife very sadly passed away. But he said in his diary that that verse was God's strengthening to him out of a daily discipline of just happening to, I'll read what's there. And at that moment, God used his word to strengthen his heart and give him solace at the most difficult of times. And so, as we close now, we've finally got there, guys. There is this invitation from Isaiah. And if you want to get into this book, it is a wonderful book to just journey in. And it speaks of God's glory and his comfort, his judgment, and yet his plan to bring this wonderful one from Judah to come and save the planet and to renew it, a new heavens and a new earth, where God comes to strengthen this wonderful planet. I want to invite you to rediscover the greatness of God. I want to invite you to, recognize our weakness and to know we are weak, but God's power is made perfect in that weakness as we draw on his grace. And I want to invite you to renew your strength in God by maintaining your relationship with him, by keeping coming to him and drawing on his presence and worshipping and being ones who know the supernatural, soaring strength of the God who came to save us. Amen. Amen. Well, it'd be really good to pray, and I'd really just like us, could I just encourage us to stand? Is that okay? I'd just like to pray just a general prayer over us, and then there was just a couple of words of knowledge I'd like to give, if that's all right. Okay, Father, we thank you that you keep coming to us. We thank you that you sustain us and you hold this whole planet together and you give us breath. We thank you that you speak to us from your word by your spirit to exalt Jesus. And I pray for each of us here. Lord, would you come upon us? We want to pray a shameless prayer, Lord, and say, Lord, we want to know you more. We want to rediscover your greatness. We want to look into your face. We want to see you and be strengthened and changed and transformed. We thank you for your blood, which we heard about at the start of this morning. Thank you that we can come to you, Father, because of the blood of your Son. And we come to you now and we say, Lord, would you transform us? Would you open our eyes and our hearts to see you more? Enlarge our capacity to know you. Would you come, Lord? Would you help us to recognize our weakness? We are weak, Lord, but we ask, Lord, for your power to be made perfect in us. And we ask, Lord, that you would renew our strength, strength to run and soar, strength to work and care for families, strength to find employment, strength to keep going for job interviews, strength, Lord, for keeping going when we're under pressure at work. Would you come, Lord, we pray, in Jesus' name. Father, I just want to ask that you would come by your Holy Spirit. We just want to ask for healing to come, strengthening to come. For those who are going through it emotionally, I want to pray for sorrow and sighing to flee away. Would you bring a fresh joy to us here today, Lord? Would you lift up our heads and release us, Lord, of burdens that are not from you, but that you want to come and break off us? In Jesus' name we pray. Lord, would you give us a great affection for your Son, more than we've known, where we've felt heavy or faint. Would you come underneath us and lift us up and give us a fresh desire to seek you? Where we felt stale and dry, would you send your water to refresh us and fill us up? In Jesus' name we pray. For your glory, Lord, would you cause us to blossom and bloom under your great care? Lord, would you rain on us? Would you water us? Would you come again to us, Lord? In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Just wondered if, just in praying beforehand, just felt if there was anybody who here or maybe with a relative who had a thrombosis condition, I'd really like to pray for you today. And also someone suffering from psoriasis, a liver condition. I don't know if they're the same person, but psoriasis, a liver condition. And I really felt there was somebody here who was really on the edge of giving up. This was your kind of last chance. You were coming today, and it'd be really good to pray for you, or for you to see Paul or Nick or Bob, to pray with them. If you felt, you know, this is the last chance, God wants to say to you today, I am for you. I have good plans for you. I want to come to you and encounter you. So if you're one of those people, or if you would just like prayer for God to come freshly upon you, we would love to do that in the areas of creativity, in the areas of leadership, in the areas of just needing to know that strength of God. We would love to pray for you today. It's Jesus who is the King. It's Jesus who is the strengthener. It's Jesus who is the one sustaining us and offering to give power to the weak today. And so, Lord, we just, even in this time, we just hand this portion of this meeting over to you again and ask for you to have your way and do what you want to do. Would you come and strengthen and reveal and bless and build up for your glory, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Just going to ask Cliff and Beth to come and pray at the front. So if one of those words of knowledge, or as Cliff was saying, there's just something this afternoon.